In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed are you more than Abraham, more than Moses, more than Elijah, and more than David. For you see what they could only long to see. They lived by faith in the Son of God, even as you do, but you know the details. You know the fulfillment. They lived in shadows. They lived by faith in the promise of the coming Messiah. But you know his name, Jesus. You know the details of his birth, of the visit of the Magi, his journey to the temple when he was 12 years old. You know of his miracles, his teachings, his very words, even his own sentence structures. You know of his cross, the thorns, the nails, the spear, the seven words uttered from that tree of life. You know how he rose on the third day, entered a locked room twice, how he ascended into heaven, and how he promises to return for you. The Old Testament fathers were waiting for salvation to be revealed. But you know all the details. The scriptures are complete. And these scriptures point to Christ. The scriptures preach Christ. That should not surprise us. But it's very easy, and it is tempting, to say the words to sound pious and then to interpret scripture to make it about us. So where is Christ in this Good Samaritan story? Is he the robbers? Is he the man in the ditch? Is he the priest and the Levite? Is he the Samaritan? Is he the innkeeper? To answer this, you also need to know where you are. So are you the one who has been beaten and robbed and stripped of all you have? Are you the robbers? Have you hurt and harmed others? Have you ignored others in their hour of need? Have you helped? Have you been kind and caring, not only to friend, but also to foe? Or to phrase the question this way, are you the hero of the story or the one who needs help? The prophets and kings desired to see Christ. Carried along by the Holy Spirit, they wrote about Christ, not about themselves. They wrote about Christ. They longed to see him, to learn his name, to hear of his teachings and his work. They long for him to set them free from sin, death, hell, and the devil. And then an expert in their writings comes up to Jesus with a question. He wants to know how to inherit eternal life. This man knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. He studied them. He taught them. He interpreted them. He knew them probably better than most people of his day. So Christ responds with two questions. What is written in the law, that is the Old Testament? And how do you interpret it? What does Moses say about entering heaven? What does David and the prophets write about the way of salvation? Do you see the Old Testament as pointing to Christ and what he will do for you, or do you see it about what you must do for God? The expert believes the scriptures reveal his love for God, what he must do to make it to heaven. So he fails to see salvation is by grace through faith. He fails to believe the promise in Eden that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head, or the promise given to Abraham that by faith one is saved. He failed to see Christ. The ancient fathers longed to see Jesus, and yet here is this expert standing right in front of the Son of God himself, and he fails to see Jesus. The ancient church fathers longed to see Jesus. This man can only see himself. So do this and you will live, Jesus says. Love perfectly from the moment of conception until the moment you die, and you will enter heaven. The expert knows this is impossible. Who is equal to such a task? But he doesn't see Christ in the scriptures. He doesn't see forgiveness and grace in the Word of God. And so he assumes that he has to somehow tweak the law of God so that way he can keep it and make it into heaven. So tell me, does Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan tell the man who thinks he can earn heaven to try harder? Remember the topic, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Is Jesus' answer, if you love more, you will make it? Of course not. So why are we so often tempted, along with countless others, why are we often tempted to interpret ourselves first and foremost as the Good Samaritan? It's because our default is to always see ourselves, to make the scriptures about me and what I must do for God rather than what God has done for me. We are in this story, to be sure, but we are not first and foremost that Samaritan. We are not the hero of the story. Rather, we are the half-dead man. We confess with the Old Testament writers that we have made the sin of Adam our own sin. It hurts to be this man. It hurts to be beaten and abused, bloodied and wounded, tossed into a ditch, lying amongst the dirt and the weeds, with no way of getting ourselves out. It doesn't feel good to confess that sinful state. Our ineptitude brings us shame. Our laziness and failures lead us to regret. If only we could go back, if only we could do it once more, the good that we have left undone, the sins that we have committed. We've hurt each other deeply. We've made our own lives more difficult by how we've responded. Satan has stripped us of God's righteousness, and we willingly allowed it. He abused and ravaged us, and we willingly consented by continuing in sin. So we are far from being the savior, the hero in the story. Rather, bloodied and beaten to a pulp is our own sinful nature. Notice how Jesus flips the question. The man asked, "Who is my neighbor? Who am I to love so that I can inherit eternal life?" Jesus asked, "Who was a neighbor to the man? Who is the neighbor who loves so that you can inherit eternal life?" If the point of Jesus' story is to tell the man to do better at loving others, then shouldn't the Samaritan be in the ditch and the Jew be the one helping? But instead, Jesus flips it. He puts the Jew in the ditch. He puts this expert in the ditch, the man who thought he kept God's law, the man who thought he was good enough, who could inherit heaven by his work. Christ throws him in the ditch. Now, who is a neighbor to you? Who has been merciful to you? Who has risked everything to save you? Who has carried you to the safety of the inn? Who has done everything, provided everything for you, and then promises to return for you? Who is your neighbor? Christ. Christ is your neighbor. So blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Prophets and kings long to hear this story, but they did not. Yet you hear, you believe, you know the details. The outsider from Galilee, that Samaritan, is filled with compassion and love. The holy God will not pass you by, but clothed in flesh and blood, he steps down from his heavenly throne into the muck and dirt and filth of your sin. He risks his own life to care for yours. Rather, he gives his own life to care for yours. He doesn't wear gloves, and yet he touches your wounded body and your bloodied soul. He pours on the healing baptism to cleanse you. His blood covers you. His spirit washes you clean. His blood eats the sin and the gunk and the filth that dragged you down into hell itself. There is nothing stronger, nothing more potent, nothing more life-giving than the very blood of Christ. The Savior carries you then where you need to be. He takes you to the inn of the Holy Church, where he charges his ministers with your care, and he himself provides the means that the ministers are to use, the Word, and the sacraments. And if that were not enough, this Good Samaritan of ours promises to return back to take us to where he now is. So blessed are you, like the prophets and the kings, for you see that the scriptures preach Christ to you. Forgiveness fills each page. Love and compassion drip from every word, revealing how God has given you the inheritance of eternal life. Blessed are you more than the prophets and kings. You know the details. You know his name. You know his cross. You have his baptism. You eat his supper. They could only long for those things, but you enjoy them. There is one more aspect to this story. As soon as the scriptures are about Christ, then they also become about you. As soon as this Good Samaritan is Christ, then he is also you who are in Christ. So you do love. You do show kindness and compassion to friend and foe. The law cannot change your heart. Simply telling someone to love that person will not make them love them. But the gospel has changed your heart. Indeed, it has given you the very heart of God. What God desires, you desire. How God loves is how you desire to love. So you are free to live like the compassionate Samaritan, knowing full well that the death and resurrection of Christ is enough for you and will provide you with the inheritance of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.